Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Higher Dimension. I'm Phyllis Price, your hostess, and this week we're going to talk about having the ability to look into your own lives and look into whether or not you can see your own lives or get a sense of where you've been and who you are. And that when you do this, and of course people can call into the show, it's an all right thing. If you want to call into the show, we can do a reading, that's fine, or ask questions. Part of what you do when you look into a past life is bring up information that should help you to navigate the lifetime that you have now with who you are and where you are at this time. And it's very important. Now, last week I gave a very hurried one of the old standbys that I learned from reading the book by Joseph Weed, which was a Rosicrucian, and it was practicing to look into a mirror so that you can see your own past life. And that is where you have a softly darkened room, again, and only darkened so you're not so distracted, and also to have another thing such as a candle, put it on your left simply because it's easier that way. If you can only do it from the right, that's fine too. But put it on a table. You know, you can sit in front of a mirror, either a full-length mirror, or I prefer one at a dresser or a desk or something so I don't get too caught in distractions of what's in the room around me. And what you do is you sit and you just try and have the place as quiet as possible and look into your own eyes. Steady yourself, calm yourself. If you do meditation, this is good. But I would like you just to sit and look into a mirror, into your own eyes. Try not to blink very much. Try to just keep yourself focused on your eyes and make your mind as blank as possible, or just focus on looking in your eyes. Just keep your attention there. What happens usually is that you will find that the mirror will start to turn very misty, like a fog has moved in. And everything blanks over. In fact, you can't even see yourself for a few moments or so. Now, sometimes people can do this the first time around. Usually, however, it takes practice. I would not try to do this more than 5 or 10 minutes the first time. And, you know, if it doesn't work first time, second, third, fourth, whatever. It depends just on your own skill, your own skills of concentration, and, you know, your intent as well. But when you do this, the mirror will fog, and then out of the fog, you will begin to become aware of your own eyes. Now, for me, it comes back as the body begins to build, as though it was from the inside out. For me, I see first the skull, and then I begin to see the muscles start covering the face and the skull, because I usually just see from the chest up. That's easier for me to sit and look that way. And then comes the shape, more of the shape of the head, which will give you an idea, and then the face. And you will see the features suddenly come through, and the hair and anything else, and then you'll start seeing clothes or a hat or whatever that would be indicative in that mirror. And when you sit and look at it, you will be seeing yourself. Usually the first yourself as you were in another lifetime, usually what you can ask or you will see first is a former life that has the most impact on who you are in this lifetime, one that is providing you a basis for your personality and likes and dislikes. Once you can ask them questions, who was I? What era did I live in? What culture? You can tell if you're male or female, so you don't have to ask that question, but you can ask, and you will get answers, okay? Occasionally, you may see another person in the mirror with you. If you do that, it may be that you are now seeing one of your guides or masters or angels. because we are never alone. And when we go seeking, we are usually accompanied by those who are here to guard and protect us and guide us through. So if you run across the fact that you see someone else, again, standing behind you, appearing behind you, you can ask who that person is. Who are they in this lifetime? Were they your guardian and protector in the other lifetime? You'd be amazed at some of the answers you have. I won't tell you what they are because each is unique to each individual. So this is what you have to consider and think about, okay? So what I'd like you to do is to try this on your own and see if you can come up with some of your own past lives. And that's one of the exercises that I started using back in the 1970s to start learning about who I was and why I'm here and what I'm doing here and why I am who I am and what made me. What experiences did I go through that has impacted upon me and caused me to have the experiences of life that I do at this time. And it's really wonderful. For myself, the first life I saw that came up, because my question was, who was I and in another lifetime that impacts me most? And what came up for me surprised the heck out of me, because what appeared was a monk. I'm going to assume it was Tibetan, but it was a lama monk. And apparently there was a lifetime of growth in that period of time, which is absolutely wonderful. And it's important that you respect who you were and also gain that information. My suggestion is when you consider doing this type of work, consider it as a way to grow spiritually. Use this information to explore where you have been, what you accomplished then versus now, and how it came about. I think it will answer many questions about who you were, and you can ask questions about who was in your life then that is in your life now, and what were the relationships. This is one way of empowering yourself, which I really find is very, very important, at least in my world, is to be able to answer questions for one's own self rather than having to wait for other people to answer these questions. I find it interesting to be able to answer my own questions, and I'm pretty much always with me, so I don't have to wait on other people to find out who I was and what my life is. But as I said, the first life that I saw this way was as a monk, a very aesthetic one, and one who wore yellow robes. And I understood that I learned a great deal about meditation and a great deal about the discipline, learning that material things are not that important, that they can be given up easily. It was one of spiritual growth and remaining behind the privacy walls of a monastery. The next life, I think, that I saw that came out was so interesting was that of a Frenchman. And this, again, I was a male. I seem to have an abundance of life as a male. I'm not quite sure why that is. But and I was dressed with like the court of King Louis XIV. I was very much aware that I was French. I had the long hair and the ringlets. I was wearing a lace jacket and lace cuffs. I had the cavalier hat. I had all of that. And I knew I was a swordsman. I also knew I was a bit of a rake. And I did not treat women very well. It was sort of a love them and leave them type of personality. And if you think you don't reap what you sow, trust me on this, my dear friends, you do reap what you sow. If you have relationship issues with men in your life, they may treat you disgracefully or leave you or treat you with disrespect, whatever, you can be sure you are in a position to be reaping what you have sown. If you were disrespectful of women in another lifetime, as a woman in this lifetime, you will be treated disrespectfully. You will suffer for what you've had until you learn that everyone has to be treated with love and respect and caring. On the other hand, you know, if you have a great time with a particular group of people, it may be that you were a very wonderful person at that time, that you and you have a great deal a good relationship with men or women. It may well be that in that lifetime you treated the opposite sex with a great deal of courtesy and caring, and as a result, you now have a relationship which is borne out by a very caring, loving relationship. If you helped others out, you will also have that help in this lifetime. So very true, what we reap, we sow, and what we sow, we do reap in another lifetime. And there are, let's see, another one was a Native American Indian, and as a woman in the tribe, you know, there's some fascinating stories that you can go through because you can find out about your lifetimes, learning to do dream interpretations, whether you were a shaman, and even lifetimes, quite frankly. I've recently learned about a lifetime in the medieval ages, around the 1200, 1300, something like that. And in that lifetime, it was not a very good lifetime. It was not one of abundance, but it was one of grinding poverty, sort of like the lower level of serf. And I was a female in that lifetime, and I came into that lifetime to learn compassion for people who were born into what we could call a lower economic strata at this time. And that lifetime only lasted maybe 18 years because it was such a bad time. And there was starvation and there was abuse and there was watching how people were treated and a lesson to learn, because sometimes we take lessons that we learn not because we've earned them, but because we choose to learn certain aspects of ourselves, to learn certain qualities that we can then use at another time or just to provide information for our soul's growth. So another thing, when you go into past lives, don't always assume it's a reward or punishment type of situation. It could well be one of those learning situations that you choose to go through, though you wonder when you get here why the hell you ever thought that would be a neat thing to do or try. But to just learn something more about yourself, about the feelings, about relationships with people, etc. So, again, learning about a past life isn't just learning about, you know, great loves and everything else. It's an experience of becoming a greater human being. And that's very important, very important. And I would hope that you would all look at it that way and rejoice, because we are all here to learn about each other and learn how to be better people with each other. Another way of learning about lifetimes, of course, is through dream interpretation. And you can really get some good ideas about what a former lifetime was or who you were by noticing some dreams. Now, a lot of people tell me they don't dream at all. Well, we all do dream. I mean, we do dream a lot. We dream every night. If you were hooked up to a machine, an EEG, it would show your brainwave patterns indicating when you are in REM or dream sleep or whether you are not. So we all dream. Whether or not you want to learn, this is also based on a desire on your part as to become aware of what you are dreaming through the night, because a lot of people don't really want to know. Some people have a fear. Some people have such a rich, active life that they really can't even begin to remember everything. But if you truly want to know and you are persistent in inquiring about a former life and what you're dreaming about at night, you will learn. So that is another area that you can indeed explore with learning of past lifetimes. How does it happen? Well, It's a feeling. It can come through the clothes that you wear. If you see clothes in your dream that belong to a different culture or era, it's very much indicative that you did indeed live in that lifetime. And you might recognize somebody in the dream that you know in this lifetime, because we do have a tendency to come back in groups and pairs to assist each other to grow from one lifetime to the next. So that is a good possibility. Other times it is just a flash of knowing. If you are interested in seeking a certain answer, my suggestion would be persistent in seeking the answer to what you want. It doesn't always come very quickly. That's been my experience in many ways. It's a long time growth potential, and you will not be given more for you to understand and learn than you are capable of handling. That's the other thing about learning about your own past lifetimes and seeking. Sometimes if a sequence comes up in your daily, in your dream life, it may be reprising a relationship or situation that you had done before and indicates to you that here is a lesson that's coming up to reconsider and learn and see if you can change the situation around. That's why some dreams are precognitive. Again, once one learns lessons, it really isn't necessary to repeat them ad nauseum. You can always change and grow into something else. It's as though life comes by and just checks with you and says, well, are you sure you've learned this lesson? And are you really, really, really ready to go on to another one? Or do we need to go back over it again? And usually you really want to say, geez, I'd like to go on to something else. I've had enough of this already. Let's move my life into a new order. The other thing that is also an awareness. When you first walk into a new situation or a new place, and there's this eerie feeling of having been there before, well, there can be two explanations for that. Actually, there can be a lot of explanations. You may have seen it in a movie. You may have seen pictures of it. Somebody may have described it to you, yada, yada. There are any number of ways, but if it feels as though it's personal to you and you're quite sure that you don't know anybody from that particular place that you are at this time, it may be the fact that you have been there before, that you did live in another time and place. And if you stop and become aware of your feelings and tune into them, quite often you can get a lot of information. The first 30 seconds that anybody meets or greets anyone, and this is from psychology, that is your true impression. The first 30-second impression you get is an accurate impression. Anything after that, we are all rationalizing. So if you go in someplace and you have an immediate awareness that you are familiar with this place or person, then you can pretty much bank on it that, yes, you are indeed familiar, that you're not having hallucinations. Again, when you tune into that and become still and listen, information can be provided to you. And when the information comes, it's not in drips and drabs as though you're reading something. It's like a flood. It's like an instant, I would say it's almost like, how can I explain it? It's like you absorb something whole and complete. It's as though you just know it in its full entirety. You don't have to read it like a book. You don't have to study it. You just have that instantaneous knowledge, which is yours. And the whole, it comes to you in a full palette, in other words. And it's an instant knowing. And this is, again, a wonderful way of getting this information rather quickly, because the mind can accept and learn a lot faster than we think it does. We aren't slowed down when you're moving from the higher plane, which is where you are when you are getting information from your higher self or in past lives. You can sort of swallow it whole, so to speak. So again, this is another way that you can get this information impacted. Again, if anybody wants to call in for a past life reading, or they want to ask questions, or run something by me, I'd be more than happy to talk to you and see what we can do for you. One of the wonderful things that I have done is really understood the interplay between past lives and our current living life at this time. It is very important to understand this. If you are serious about moving forward in your spiritual growth, understanding who you were and where you have come from can be a very important piece of the puzzle. It's not the only piece, and can you do it, learn and move ahead without knowing about it? Yes, the answer is yes, you can. But in my opinion, I find that if I have this information, it is a lot easier for me to move forward if I grasp where I have been. And as soon as you grasp where you have been, you also grasp the full lessons that you have. And you can utilize that information, which now is, quite frankly, available knowledge. And it saves an awful lot of time for you in downtime, what I call downtime or learning time. So using that information to the best of your knowledge in one fell swoop, so to speak, is a wonderful opportunity to move forward. Some of the other things that I find is when you deal with this, you find as you grow in understanding your past lives, you will find that you're also moving more and more into the world of understanding psychic phenomena. And this is wonderful, too, because as you study yourself, of course, you realize that all knowledge really exists within you. All you have to do is, like on a computer, find the key or the password, and you can access that knowledge. And the more that you learn it and work with it, the more you will get out of it, the more information you will receive, the easier it will become to get any information that you would like to obtain. Now, a part of this is a soul's growth. And I find that it's very important as we grow in understanding ourselves, we are able to access a lot more of information over a period of time than we have previously. You become more psychic when you work with dreams and when you work with finding out who you were in a past life. You become more aware of where you are going and what you want to accomplish. And you learn more discernment, and you learn more about understanding others. The qualities of soul, remember, are gifts that we all have, and we choose to work on these particular gifts each time we come around. And if we master them in one life, those are our gifts that are part of our repertoire, so to speak, to use whenever we so desire. These gifts don't just come and go. They are a part of our toolkit, our arsenal, in which to move through each lifetime that we have on this earth. So it's not just for one lifetime only. But the intent has to be of an ideal that is high. When you go into these learning experiences, again, I cannot emphasize enough that it is so important to maintain a high level of integrity. If you do not, you will find yourself suffering. Okay? You will find yourself losing the abilities, or the abilities become unreliable, or you're not reading them quite right, and you gradually lose the gifts. You cannot grab onto something, it will become slippery, and it will be just something that simply isn't part of who you are in the future. Okay? This is something else that is very important to understand. When we work with the spirit, we have to maintain the highest ideal possible. If not, we are losing ground. So, learning to tell what's going to happen in the future is very important. It comes with your dreams. learning about who you are by looking into a mirror and calming yourself, moving forward in your life, you will find that each stage of your life, as you come to a very important growth place, different things are going to occur for you. You are going to get more promptings, which is, for me, wonderful, more nudges from the spirit, and you're going to have your answers easier and more clearly understood. Now, there will come times when, quite frankly, you're not going to get the answers that you seek, and that is probably a reason is that there may be a lesson that you might not want to go through, and it's important for you to go through. It also might be information is hidden from you because it impacts other people, and it's not appropriate for you to let other people know certain things. So that's why sometimes we don't get answers when we seek. When people give us answers in readings, sometimes those readings have to be understood as this is what the probability is at this time given this set of circumstances. But you understand that you can always change those circumstances by changing your mind or changing how you view things. If you become, if you learn a lesson or if you decide to make a change in something that you are going to do, a different outcome will come. If you move from a lower level, a lower vibrational level to a higher spiritual level, you will find your, what was forecast is changed. It's sort of like embarking on a journey and having a particular road mapped out, and then deciding that you're going to take a different road to get there. So the map that you had no longer works. And your journey may be either lengthened or shortened depending on the road that you take. And I've had a number of people talk to me about why they have this change of issues where things don't quite work out. And that's because we are always in a state of being able to change our minds at any given point. So it's a matter of making that decision and either sticking with the road or changing our map. Some of the other situations that do come up in looking forward is, and again, I'm going to give you some information I did provide last year again, besides looking in the mirror, and that is using a smooth table or a glass or wood or whatever, but something that's very smooth, and you can ask questions and get the answers by just rubbing your finger across the surface of that table or piece of glass or metal frame, anything that is smooth and not corrugated or rough. And you can ask a question, and you can always check with yourself. Usually, however, if you ask a question and your finger becomes sticky and sort of stutters along like there's honey or something on the surface, looks sticky, the answer is no. If it continues to be very smooth, then the answer is yes. Okay? And that's one way of telling about something is coming. You can use that for anything, whether a dream has a great meaning to you or what have you. One of the books that I have read that I have found so good is Elsie Secrest's Dreams Are Magic Mirror, and that could be purchased from the ARE. It's a wonderful book on dream interpretation, and it's one that I particularly like to use. The other I really like to use is Mary Summerrain's book, I think Dreams on Dreams. A thousand words. I can't remember exactly the title. I'm horrible on titles. I should know better than to try and call a title out of my head at the last second. But she does have a very good book, and between those two books, you can get a lot of information on dream interpretation. I am particularly fond of Mary Summerrain's interpretation. I think it's, of course, obviously more recent than Edgar Cayce's book or the one done by Elsie Secrest, but I find them both very valid, and both help and contribute to greater understanding. The I'm trying to think of some of the other things that I wanted to share with you with regard to growth, spiritual growth, and right now my mind is beginning to fail a little bit. It's just one of those days that your mind sort of just goes into a little mini slump. And but if anybody did want to call in or ask a question, please feel free to, again, call and talk to me. We will be having other guests in the future, but somehow I just felt that these last couple of weeks it would be nice just to chat with y'all and to go over a few things and see what we can do as far as being relaxed and just chatting. It's wonderful to be able to talk to you all, and I'd like to continue going doing so and chatting with you and sharing with you some of the wonderful experiences that we have and some of the wonderful information that I have. Now, the other thing that I think is very interesting is through hypnosis that you can, and I get good information through hypnosis, and getting a very good hypnotist or hypnotherapist is very important. You should have someone that you have a rapport with and are comfortable with. It's very potent when you have issues in your life from traumatic events and even in past lifetimes to have past life regression. It works very well for healing purposes. Yes, good evening. May I help you?
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, can you hear me now, Phyllis?
Yeah, who's this?
My name's Lynn.
Liz?
Lynn, L-Y-N-N.
Oh, Lynn. Hi, Lynn. You're very faint, but go ahead.
I wanted to ask you if there's any way you can tell me if I was my mother's mother in a past life.
If you were your grandmother in a past life?
Basically, yeah.
Pardon?
Basically, or if I was my mother's mother at
okay,
some point.
Okay, in other words, you had a past lifetime, doesn't matter when. That you and she were mother and daughter, right? Reversed. Is that correct?
That's what I was wondering, if you're able to tell that.
Yeah, you can. And you want to know if I see that right now. Okay, let me switch from one hat to another, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
I'm going from teacher mode now into dressing mode. Hold on. Okay. Yes, but I don't think it was mother-daughter.
No, okay.
I think it was more like more of a, I'm hearing father-son.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It was that relationship, but it was different, and it's been reversed so that the two of you could share the differences. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry, I was just finding that I'm more my mother's parent in this lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, it's one that you've had before, where you took care of her, and that's kind of how she's carried it through into this lifetime. She's still kind of expecting you to take care of her, right?
Yes.
And it's easy for you to get into, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't want to do it anymore.
Huh?
I don't want to do it anymore.
Well. Yeah, but it's something that kind of crept up on you from the time you were little, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I also think that part of it is a fear of losing her, and it may be that there was a loss of life at a young age in that other lifetime. And that is why you have such a concern for the well-being in this lifetime. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And that is what I'm feeling, that in that prior life, you as the son, wait a second, I'm getting confused now, hold on. Yeah, you as the son slipped away, okay? And
okay.
It was necessary, well, wait, hold on, you were the father, she was the son.
Yeah.
She died young, let me put it that way, let me get it right. She died young, and you were very upset and blamed yourself that had you been more careful, had you been more attentive, had you been this, and so, it might not have happened. And so there was a little bit of that guilt. So this time around, you've been a bit more careful. Also, there is a tendency on her part to let you assume the leadership role, is there not?
Pardon me?
Pardon?
Did you ask if I've taken the leadership role?
There's a tendency on her part to let you assume.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
The leadership role.
Yes, in the whole
okay.
house, yeah.
Putting the responsibility, not fighting you for the responsibility, in other words.
Yeah,
allowing
right.
you to take over, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of a holdover, too, from that same period of time. She also has a... she also likes to be served. I also have a strong feeling that there was I'm giggling because it's kind of she expected you to take care of her. I mean, it's just an expectation. It's not. It's just there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fait accompli. But of course, you're supposed to take care of me. Oh, aren't you always supposed to do that? But yeah, that has been the relationship in the past, father and son. I also feel there have been some other lifetimes where you have been together in the same household. Okay? And again, my feeling is that your role in the household at the time was maybe the elder sibling.
Okay.
And again, looking to you to handle all of the stuff rather than having to do the work herself and letting you take the lead. She doesn't really want to be the leader of the pack, so to speak. She'd rather be the follower than the leader.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm picking up, okay. So, now, this is interesting because you coming as a child this time was supposed to help the role reversal and move her along. And in a way, it has helped her, okay? Just not enough for your satisfaction. It has helped her, all right, because she had to take care of you when you were really teeny tiny.
Yeah.
But, I do see that. And... that's all right. There'll be other relationships in the future where she is going to have to take a lead role, whether she likes it or not. It might not necessarily be with you, but it will be in a situation where she will have to, by the very circumstances of that particular lifetime, she will have to take a lead role. She won't be able to sit back and let other people do for her.
Okay.
Which is interesting. You know?
Good.
Any other questions?
No, I was curious about that, so I had my own opinion on it, and you kind of cleared it up for me, so I appreciate that.
You know, when you have feelings like this, it's really interesting how accurate they can be.
Yeah.
And part of, again, our learning in this is to take this lesson and use it for our own benefit and to show us how we've grown and where we want to move in this lifetime and the next and how we want to handle things. It's a really great opportunity to plan. I had a teacher once who said she is plotting the next time she comes to be a blonde with great metabolism, a tall, good-looking blonde, gorgeous woman with a lot of wealth, and she doesn't have to do anything but raise her little pinky and have people jump to her command. Must be nice. But she's really serious about creating that life for herself. Wouldn't it be funny if she came in short and dumpy? She would be not a happy camper. But yeah, I think that's great. Well, you know, this is fabulous. Any other questions you might have?
No, I think that's at this point. I've got millions of questions, but I'm not going to take up the whole show. So I appreciate
okay.
Feel free
to call again and ask. It's okay.
Okay.
I don't mind asking
week.
Questions as long as I can figure out the answers. I'm happy. It's when I don't get the answers that I get really frustrated and embarrassed.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Lynn, so much for calling in. Okay. At any rate, it is really funny how we do come back into different relationships, and we have to adapt. I had a relationship where I felt I had to take care of my mother when I was very young, and there was a reason for that that I won't bore you with now, but there was a valid reason for that in this lifetime from a traumatic incident that happened. So, I did take care of my mother. And so that's a situation we have on that one. And it's interesting because there's so much that we can learn by going into a past lifetime. Again, I'm going to suggest if there are issues that one has with a relative and it is one that is causing a great deal of concern and sorrow and pain, feeling is that going into hypnosis and exploring that situation, and it might not be the first or the second session, but it doesn't take a whole long time. It's not like going through great therapy elsewhere, or formal therapy elsewhere, but that the situation can be resolved, okay? And even if the person that you seek some relief or understanding from is deceased, it can still be dealt with because you can reach people on another plane, even if you are no longer in this plane. And by that, I do mean that if you had an unresolved relationship with a family member, and they've died, and you still want that resolved in some fashion, it can be done. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because what are we on the spiritual plane but simply a different wavelength of energy? We are not dead as such. We have passed to a different vibrational source of energy. We are not disintegrated in any way, shape, or form. So it's a matter of making sure that you do bring about healing in your life with everyone, and not going through this lifetime feeling so bad. I had someone that I know who had a very rocky relationship with her mother, and she spent 20 or 30 years going to a therapist, and all I could think of was this guy, you know, sent his kids through grade school, high school, and college, and probably took a tour on a Mediterranean cruise doing this. But in hypnosis, that kind of relationship can be adjudicated very quickly by having a meeting on another plane with the person. Now, can it only be when somebody has left this earth plane? No. You can do it also on another level in hypnosis with someone who is still living. You can talk to them, higher self to higher self, and heal a dysfunctional relationship or a breached relationship. This is important, and it's very intensely personal, and it does work. But it has to be when you're ready. If you're not ready, it will not work. It takes at least one person to want to heal a harmful relationship or negative relationship, whether it's a family, a friend, a business associate, whatever. Yes, good evening. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions.
Oh, hi, Phyllis.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Esme.
Esme, how are you?
Yes. I'm good. How are you?
Fine. Where are you from, Esme?
I'm from Canada.
Oh, yes. Welcome. How is it up there? We're having great weather down here.
Yeah, we are too.
Good. How may I help you tonight?
I'm just wondering. I met a man recently in a romantic relationship. And when I met him, I've never had such a shock of recognition.
You had a shock of recognition?
Yeah.
Okay.
As soon as I saw his eyes, I knew that I'd known him before.
Absolutely.
And so I'm just wondering if you think this is going to be going anywhere.
Okay. And you started dating already?
We have, but he's a little frightened.
Yeah. Men like control issues, right?
Pardon me?
Men like to control things. It's kind of scary for men when there is an intense, immediate relationship. Understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, but then you know that, right?
It's well, that seems to be what's happening.
Huh?
That seems to be the case here.
Yeah, they're not quite sure what's going on. They don't feel like they have control over it. And as a result, the guy's what I call pussyfoot around. I don't know if it's same term up in Canada or not.
No, that makes sense.
So they sort of tiptoe around, you know, afraid that something will break. And, sometimes the relationship works out well. I will tell you, it has also been known that it's just a matter of reconnecting in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the recognition purpose or just for a brief time, and then they seem to sail off into the sunset. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Because, sometimes it's just for a howdy-do and
right.
to let you know what's happening.
Right.
Sometimes it is for a much more important purpose, a life
uh-huh.
purpose.
Right.
I have known situations and, you know, where the situation is that the person is there just to give confidence.
Right.
A feeling of sense of self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't go much further than that. And they're in and out of the life just
right.
enough to, as I said, say howdy do.
Yeah.
And make you feel good and worthy about yourself. And then they move on like ships passing in the night, I think the expression was.
Yeah.
So in this instance, how long have you known him, ma'am?
Oh, only about 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is he getting a little antsy?
Well, what happens is we'll have a great time together, and then after a few days, he backs off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This man also has commitment issues, darling.
Does he what?
Has commitment issues.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm saying, and my feeling is he does.
Yeah.
That's part of the situation, all right? My feeling is that he has been hurt.
Yes, that's true.
He has?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He has been hurt, and he's sort of like a flower that closes up. You know, you touch it, and it closes up on itself.
That's
it doesn't
right.
want to be
that's
hurt
exactly
again.
It.
He doesn't want to be hurt again. So,
yeah.
You know, you'd like to take the woman that hurt him like that and slap him up the side of the head, you know? Because it makes it so difficult for you when you come along.
Yeah.
I think he also has a feeling that he doesn't trust himself.
Doesn't trust himself?
He doesn't trust himself. He doesn't
right.
trust his own judgment in
yeah,
some way.
I think that's true, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what
yeah,
I'm
he's
feeling.
Just, he's just starting to explore the spiritual realm of things.
Okay. Spiritual?
So I think he's pretty overwhelmed by...
Yeah, my suggestion is just to, if you can, and this is very hard for somebody, and I can understand very much what I'm going to say, it can be very difficult to step back
yes.
from the relationship and allow the person breathing space.
Yeah.
Okay. And
that's what I'm trying to do right now. So.
Okay, good. Because he's you'll scare him away otherwise. He's not
yes.
going to be able to handle the relationship otherwise.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Okay.
You're just confirming everything I've already felt, so.
Okay.
That's really interesting that you are saying all this because it all goes with what I kind of intuited
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. It's not that he's a bad person because he's not.
Oh, no, not at all.
Not at all. It's just that he has issues, as we say in today's parlance.
Yeah.
And he doesn't trust his own judgment. He wants to be careful. He also has certain goals that he has in mind, right? He wants
Sorry?
To achieve.
I can't hear you. Sorry.
He has certain goals that he wants to achieve.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. And he is very determined to meet those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he also doesn't want to. I think it's part of his issue is also that he doesn't want to be sidetracked from those goals. He has a tendency to plan ahead on certain things. Is that correct?
I couldn't say that already. I don't know
okay.
him well enough to say that.
Okay. I'm getting a feeling that he likes to plan things.
Uh-huh.
He has certain sets up certain things that he likes to get done.
Right.
And achieve. And he's very serious about following through with achieving the goals he has in mind.
Uh-huh.
And so my feeling is, you know, just walk softly, be
okay.
very nice, be very sweet, and become very indispensable to him by just being who you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's great advice. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I wish I could follow my own advice. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Well, it's not easy advice to follow either. It sounds like it should be easy, but it's not.
No, it's not.
That's something
it's
I have
very,
to learn.
Very, very difficult. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just the way things are in this day and age, darling. But
yeah.
You can have fun along the way, and I would encourage you to have fun along the way. That
yeah.
much I can say.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, dear,
okay.
for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye. Yeah, well, it's relationships are just so fascinating to me. Oh, well. It's what makes the world go round. And sometimes people will just come into your life, as I said, just as ships passing in the night, just to let you know that they are here on this earth and they are here just to touch you or for you to touch them and just let them know that they're very special. And then they move on again. But each time this happens, I think that you will find that something does occur, that your heart is touched. A difference has been made, has been noted, and then you can go on again. And sometimes, and not in this situation, I'm not saying, but sometimes what we would love to happen doesn't happen because the person makes a choice not to follow through with the possibility that's afforded with the chance meeting. And that is the definition of disappointment, when somebody misses an appointment in a time and place and they fail to go forward with a relationship. That's a disappointment. But, again, there are many factors. Some could be other lessons that they've chosen to learn and they have moved forward in those lessons. It's I just think it's just a very fascinating situation the whole way around. And when you couple that with all the people you've ever known and the possibilities, it's just such a fascinating situation. There's not just one person, but a number of people for each of us in this lifetime, depending on what we choose to do with the learning and the lessons that we have chosen to come through. And some lessons you think you'd like to slap yourself up the side in the head and say, what was I thinking when I agreed to do this? And all I can say is you were thinking that you were going to be doing something pretty wonderful that was going to help you and others. And so don't slap yourself up the side of the head too hard, please. Just know that there are some wonderful things that happen when you have relationships with other people that can really start a way of growth that would not have been possible. And one of the hardest lessons I think I had to learn was that some of the people who teach us the most valuable lessons are people, you know, we just like to take out and shoot, actually. ex-husbands can be great teachers. Trust me on this one. They are lessons that one can learn, believe me, whether you like to or not, they can be well learned. Yes, good evening. May I help you? Hello? Well, we seem to be coming up to the hour, I guess. And that was my clue that we have done all we can for this evening. I hope you've gotten some good information out of this. I'd love to talk to you again next week. I wish you a wonderful week. God bless. We shall be talking to a number of good guests in the future. You have a blessed week. Thank you for calling. I'm Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimension. Good night.